Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to the last lightning talk of the conference. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. This will be the FOSDEM infrastructure review, same as every year, presented by Richard and Basti.
So normally I do this thing, but Basti has been helping a ton, and the ball of spaghetti and spit and duct tape, which I left him, he turned into something usable. So I'm just going to sit here on the side, and I'm here around for the Q&A. But for the rest, it's Basti, and it's his first public talk for RealC, so give him a big round of applause.
Well, thank you. I will not screw this one up, okay? So we'll have about 15 minutes, 10 minutes of talk and 5 minutes for Q&A, and I hope it's somewhat interesting to you. First, the facts. The core infrastructure hasn't changed that much since the last FOSDEM 2020. We're still running on a Cisco ASR 10K for routing, ACLs, NAT64, and DHCP. We have already we reused several switches that were already here from the last FOSDEM. They're owned by FOSDEM. These are Cisco C3750 switches. We had our old servers, which are now turning 10 this year. They were still here, and they will be replaced next year. We have done, like all the years before, everything with Prometheus, Loki, and Grafana for monitoring our infrastructure, because that's what helps us running all the conference here. And we've built some public dashboards, and this we just put it out to a VM outside of ULB because we were running out of bandwidth like the years before. And I'll come to that back later. We have a quite beefy video infrastructure. You might have seen this one here. It's a video capturing device. It's called the Video Box here at FOSDEM. It's all public. It's all open source, except one piece that's in there. And you can find it on GitHub. If you try to build it yourself, go ahead. Just grab the GitHub repo and clone it. These devices, there's two of them, one at the camera, one here for the presenter's laptop. They send their streams to a big render farm that we have over in the K building, where like every year our render farm is running on some laptops. So laptops send the streams off to the cloud from Hetzner, and from there we just distribute it to the world, so everyone at home can see the talks. And we have some sort of semi-automated revamp and cutting process. Those of you who have been talking here maybe have known SRevview for years. This is the first time it's running on Kubernetes. So we are trying to go cloud native as well with our infrastructure. Just to show how all has been held together. This is our video boxes. I don't know if you can see it. We got those Blackmagic encoders here that are turning the signals that we get, like SDI, HDMI, into a useful signal that we can process with our banana Pi that we have in there. Everything's wired up to a dump switch here, and then we go out like here and have our own switching infrastructure inside those boxes. There's some SSD below here where we just, in case of network failure, dump everything to the SSD as well. So hopefully everything that was been talked about at the conference is still captured and available in case of a network breakdown. Those boxes also have a nice display for the speaker, so we can see if everything's running or it's not running, which makes it easy for people to operate these boxes here. You don't have to be a video pro. You just have to wire yourself up to the box. You see a nice FOSDEM logo and see, okay, everything's working, and you're done, and everything's got sound set out. This is like how the video system's actually working. We have all this can be found on the GitHub. You don't have to take screenshots for that. If you would like to see it, you can. We will tear down this room afterwards, so we can just everyone can have a look at the infrastructure we're using, because it's not being used after this talk. You see, it's quite some interesting things to do. This is the instructions that all our volunteers get when they wire up the whole buildings here on one day, on Friday. So they are not here, but they should be given some round of applause, because they're volunteers that are doing really the hard work and building up on one day the complete FOSDEM. So maybe it's time for a round of applause for them. Yeah. So here we have the another thing. This is also on the GitHub repo, where you can see like where's something coming from. We have the room sound system. This is what you're hearing me through. And we have a camera with audio gear, speaker, laptops, and that's all getting pushed down until someone reaches your device down here. There's a ton of services processing it in between. And this is all done with almost all done with open source software. Except for the encoder that's running in there, which is from Blackmagic Design. So how is it processed? We have a rendering farm. These are the laptops. It's 27 this year. For those of you who don't know, those laptops are being sold after FOSDEM. So if you want one, you can grab one. This year they're already gone, but for next year, maybe you want to have a cheap device. You can have them with everything that's on them, because we literally don't care for that. You can have it, because everything's been processed after the FOSDEM. You can see it. We have some racks where we just put them four-wise, and we have 24/7 of them. 27 of them. We have some switch infrastructure that is used for processing all that stuff. And this one's not running out of bandwidth. But we're coming back to what's running out of bandwidth. You might see this mess over here. This is our internet, and looks like every common internet on the planet. And this is like our safety net. We have a big box here where all the streams go, and this will be sent out to Bulgaria to the video team right after FOSDEM. So we have a really off-site copy of everything. So the challenges for this year, DNS 6.4. All the years we've been running on Bind 9 since ages, and we switched to Core DNS, just like testing it on Sunday of FOSDEM 2020. We really saw a significant reduction in CPU usage, and that's why we stuck to Core DNS since then. And this year we also replaced the remaining bind installations that we handled for all the internal DNS and all other recursive stuff that's been used here to provide you internet access. Richie always used to give you some timelines, and that's what I'm trying to do as well. There were times when it was mentally challenging for people building up FOSDEM. We got better by year, by year, by year, by doing some sort of automation and getting people used to know what to do and what to do, and have everything set up before that. We installed routers. You see that there's a slide. It's getting better year of the year. This year we had like we thought it would be okay from what we know. We just set it up in January and everything worked. We came here on the 5th of January, I think, put everything up, and it's just worked, which is great, which gives you some sort of things not to care about, because there were other things to care about. The network, to have it up and running here, took us a bit longer this year than the last years, because we were playing around with the second uplink that we got. We used to have one gigabit uplink. Last week we got a 10 gigabit uplink, and we thought, okay, just enable that and play with it, and it would turned out to be not that easy to getting up both of the BGP sessions running and doing it properly. That's why it took us a bit longer this year. The monitoring was also one thing which really helps us to understand if FOSDEM is ready to go or if something has to stay very, very late here. The last years we've been very, very good at that. basically in January everything was done, like the last of January, but it's January. This time it were in the first half of January, everything was set up and was running and it worked. And yeah, it was really great because some people actually got some sleep at FOSDEM, didn't need to stay here very long because everything was all pre-made and it just go and look at the dashboard. Okay, this is missing, and just so okay, just have them all checked. The video build-up took a bit longer this year because of we're getting old and rusty at that. Also, in very many new faces that have never built up such a great conference. This is why we took us a bit longer, and the video team also. Yeah, I think they got the least amount of sleep of all of the stuff that was running the conference. This was the story so far. We closed FOSDEM 2020. I was also there at 2020. 2020 was really one of the best ones we ever had from a technical perspective. We had everything running via Ansible, just like one command and then wait an hour till everything is deployed and you're gone. Cool, have some beer, some mate in between, and everything was cool. Then we had this pandemic. Just for me, like a week after FOSDEM, everything went down. And we, you know, you had FOSDEM 2021 and 2022. There were no conference here at the ULB. So we had no infrastructure to manage, was what quite okay. We had to do some other things, like most of you have learned that we have a big Matrix installation to run and the FOSDEM conference and the company and help you with communicating during the conference. Then there was this bad thing that the maintainer of the infrastructure left FOSDEM within between these years. And so Richie searched for someone to who was dumb enough to do that. Yeah, that's me. So this year we're back again in persona. Sorry? Founder. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So after 2 years, we came looking for the two machines after almost 2 years. Like no one touched them. They rebooted one or two times due to power outages in the server cabinet. But we had a working SSH key. We had tons of updates to install after literally 3 years. I wonder, nobody broke into that machines because they were publicly exposed on the internet. But only SSH and I think a 3 year old or 3.5 year old Prometheus installation, which was full of bugs. We noticed that the battery controllers, the battery packs of the RAID controllers have been depleted. So this was the only thing that actually happened in the 3 years. The batteries went to zero and didn't set themselves on fire. So everything was okay. The machines worked, just a bit of performance degradation, but everything seemed to be okay. And then we tried to run this Ansible thing from the last years. And, you know, 3 years later, Ansible has done a lot of things in the time, and you want to use a current version of Ansible with that old stuff, you end up like this. This is me, yeah. Start from scratch or fix all the Ansible roads. Like there, you can have a look at them. They're also on GitHub. So when we thought, okay, how do we do this? And said, okay, then just be gone. Ansible be gone. We just fix it. After the FOSDEM, because we will have to renew the service anyway, and everything will change. So the service timeline, we had them service live at the 8th of January, services DNS 6.4 all the way to the mid of January. We had centralized all our logs. This was something Richie was looking for since ages, that we had easy, accessible log files for everything that's running here at FOSDEM. Which was good that we had them, because we could see things like, oh, the internet line that was proposed to be there actually came. Nobody told us, but it came up. You see that? Thanks to the centralized logging, we were aware of things like that. And then we could go and fire up our BGP sessions. Then 2 days later, we noticed, okay, firing up the BGP sessions wasn't that a good idea because we lost almost all connectivity. Stop, it says, but I don't care. Yeah, I just keep talking, yeah. We lost all our connectivity and said, okay, damn it, we're in some sort of panic mode because the reason for looking at the service was like this bind security issue that was been, I read the mail at the morning of January 28th, morning of January 28th and said, okay, we have to fix the bind installations, and then you suddenly can't reach your service anymore. So, okay, are they already hacked or what's going on? And doing some back and forth with our centralized logging, you see that this is Grafana Loki that we leveraged for that. We were kind of like, yeah, it's been really nice to debug things like that. We also noticed that there was a interface constantly flapping to our backbone, which we also could fix within that session. And after that, we said, okay, there are some MTU problems. We have to restart BGP and so on and back and forth. And then we finally agreed to just throw away the BGP sessions, go with the 1 gigabit line. And yesterday evening, we switched to the 10 gigabit line, because we had the congested uplink like since 11 in the morning. So many people using so too much bandwidth. And since yesterday evening, everything is okay, it's better. And we're on the 10 gigabit link. Due to the fact that there are not so many people here today, yesterday there were quite a bit more, the link was not fully saturated, but you can tell this is the place where we could use some more bandwidth. It was like, I don't know, this is usually time for something to eat, but at